How would you like to be king or queen for a day? Back in the 50s, there was a TV show called Queen for a Day. Some of you might remember this show. It was before my time. Now, on the show, women were interviewed, and whoever was least appreciated by her family for all of her hard work was crowned Queen of the Day. And this Queen for the Day was draped in a red velvet robe and put a jeweled crown placed on her head, and she got whatever she requested, usually a new washing machine. It was kind of like a reality show in the 50s. So the women in the audience are crying their eyes out, and I think they're probably just really happy to know that there are people a lot worse off than they were. But this Cinderella fantasy fits in with our images of kings and queens. Fairy tales tell us that a king or a queen is someone who lives in a castle, sits on a throne, wears fancy robes and a big crown, and makes decrees that everyone must obey. These kind of rulers don't really exist in our world today. Even in countries with a royal family, oftentimes the real decisions are made by others. But you know, if somebody says king or queen, the mental picture I get in my head is the person on a big throne with a huge crown on their head. Now, King Herod was a king in the Bible who represents that worldview of kingly power that's often used to abuse, dominate, and manipulate others. And last week's gospel lesson was the story of King Herod having John the Baptist beheaded. And actually, the story of John the Baptist's death is just one gruesome story among many in the lives of King Herod and his family. We all know from the Christmas story about Herod the Great, who was king when Jesus was born. He was so insanely suspicious of others taking his power that he murdered several of his own sons. There was a Jewish saying at the time, it's safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. Now, the King Herod that was in the gospel lesson last week was one of the lucky sons who managed not to be murdered by his father. And we heard the story of how John the Baptist ended up in prison for criticizing Herod for marrying his brother's wife. And actually, his brother's wife was not just his sister-in-law, she was also the daughter of his half-brother, and so she was also his niece. The Herod family tree is a little bit confusing. She wanted revenge on John the Baptist. Herod makes a careless promise at this party, and John ends up beheaded. But if you're reading along in the Gospel of Mark, it's like that story interrupted the account of Jesus' ministry, which we hear in today's gospel lesson. So you wonder, why would Mark interrupt his account of Jesus' ministry by telling that story about Herod? Well, Mark often uses a technique of putting one story inside of another to make a point. So just before the story of Herod and John the Baptist, Jesus sends his disciples out on a mission to preach the good news, to heal, to cast out demons. Next, Mark tells the story of Herod and John the Baptist's death. Then there's today's passage. The disciples return, tell of the success of their preaching and healing mission. The reason Mark did this is he's showing us two very different kings. Herod was a king whose life was marked by adultery, incest, careless promises, trying to impress others, murdering a great prophet. He stands in sharp contrast with the king we hear about today, Jesus. Jesus gave up his throne in heaven to become a servant. Jesus was a different kind of king. On earth, he spent his life in service to others. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He was a friend to those who had no friends. Jesus left his palace in heaven for a throne on a cross. He left a kingly crown to wear a crown of thorns. Herod was king because he was born into a position of earthly authority. He used that authority to impress others and protect his power. Jesus was a king because he has a kingdom of a heavenly origin. King Herod received and entertained important people, while Jesus received lowly and rejected people. King Herod expected to receive honor and gifts, but Jesus came giving gifts. Jesus is a different kind of king, giving his life for us. Instead of a palace, Jesus ruled from a human garbage dump called Golgotha, the place of a skull. Instead of wearing fancy robes, his clothes were taken from him and divided among his oppressors. His crown was made of sharp, piercing thorns. His subjects were criminals and a frenzied mob. His throne is a cross, an instrument of torture and death. Jesus is certainly a different kind of king, one who gives his life for us and saves us, so we can live here and now free from the Herods and live forever with Jesus in his heavenly palace. That is certainly good news. But another point to note is how today's gospel text is Jesus' response to the news of John the Baptist's death. Jesus hears about John's death the same time the disciples return from their successful mission. In the midst of this roller coaster of emotions, Jesus suggests that they spend some time away from the crowds. It says they haven't even had a chance to eat. But just as they arrive at their getaway spot, they find a needy crowd has already beat them there and is waiting for them. But Jesus, instead of being frustrated and saying, "Can't you people just leave me alone for a minute?" says Jesus was moved with compassion. He began to teach them. He healed their sick. And as we'll hear next week, he feeds over 5,000 of them. You see, it would be natural for Jesus to be angry at Herod, frustrated by the crowd, but Jesus knows who the real enemy is: Satan. The devil is the real source of John the Baptist's death. So Jesus strikes back at the real enemy, the devil, by destroying the devil's works. Jesus strikes back by acting with love and compassion, by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, teaching the lost. Jesus goes after the real source of trouble by tearing down the works of darkness. We can do well to follow Jesus' example when someone does us wrong. Thank goodness, usually we don't have to face something as tragic as murder. But somewhere along the way, we all get hurt or cheated or lied to or abused in little ways and in big ways. It's as predictable as it is painful. Yet when it happens, most of us find ourselves strangely unprepared. In our outrage, we often cry out to God against the one who wronged us. We ask for justice or even vengeance. We often end up making things tougher on everyone involved, including ourselves. But by following Jesus' example, we can put the power of God to work for us the next time somebody does us wrong. The step one, as Jesus did, is to identify the real enemy. Our enemy is not the person or the people who hurt us. The real enemy is the devil. So we aim our spiritual ammunition at the right target, to the one behind all the darkness, and go after him. Step two, we fire. We point our spiritual guns in the right direction. We hit the devil fast and furiously by standing on the word of God and God's promises. We use the name of Jesus. We pray to God. We use the power that's been given us as believers to bind the devil from doing us any further harm in that area. We meditate on and we speak God's promises. And the third step, and the most important part of the spiritual battle, is to act as Jesus did, with love and compassion. We are to pray the prayer of forgiveness for ones who hurt us. Not because we feel like it, but because Jesus has given us the authority to do it. He said in John chapter 20, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. It doesn't say if we feel better or if we feel like forgiving them, they're forgiven. Thank God our forgiveness isn't based on our feelings. It's just based on us making a decision to forgive and saying, I forgive. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, Jesus gives us these instructions. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. In that way, we break this vicious cycle of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness by destroying the devil's works and bringing in Jesus' works of healing, provision, and restoration. So, last week's gruesome story of murder is surrounded by this week's Bible passage of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is a different kind of king. He is God. He's the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present creator. And his rule is based on reconciling the world to himself out of love. And that love was the whole reason for his death. King Jesus is different because he rules a different kind of kingdom, one where we forgive as we are forgiven, where we love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus' kingdom is one where the first are last, the last are first, where first place belongs to the one who serves. In Jesus' kingdom, the poor are brought good news, the brokenhearted are healed, the captives are released, the sick are restored to health, the hungry are fed, and all who mourn are comforted. It may be fun to think about being queen or king for a day, but we follow and belong to a king who is eternal, all-powerful, and all-loving. As children of the king and part of his royal family, we have his inheritance. His strength is our strength, and in the name of King Jesus, we are delivered from every kind of darkness the world can throw at us. Praise Jesus. He is a different kind of king.